Hello, welcome to the GIFTS podcast. I'm Tom Nestrick. I'm faculty with the School of Education at Xavier University, and I'm here with Teresa Young, also faculty of the School of Education and with the Center for Mission and Identity, and we'll be your hosts. This podcast illustrates, defines, and discusses how the gifts of our Ignatian heritage are used by people in real life situations to make their lives more meaningful, impactful, and focused on serving others. Just to remind our listeners, the gifts are mission, reflection, discernment, solidarity, kinship, service rooted in justice and love, cura personalis, and magis. We are so excited to welcome a beloved alum of Xavier University, gifted artist, and my friend, Holly Schapker. Holly resides and works in Cincinnati. She graduated from Xavier University's art department in 1992. She then continued her painting education by studying under Michael Scott for 10 years, whose fine art teaching process has strong focus on painting outdoors. For the past 15 years, she has focused her time and talents on Catholic art. Work has been the subject of many publications, including print, television, and radio. Holly has been invited also to demonstrate her painting techniques and creative process at universities all around the nation. She taught beginning, advanced, and thesis painting at Xavier University. In addition to her painting demonstrations, Holly travels to give lectures as a creative Catholic, I love that term, and hosts spiritual retreats. We are so glad she's here today. Hi, Holly.
Hi, nice to be here, thank you.
Yeah, we're so lucky to have you sitting here. So I'm wondering, when you went to school here, you couldn't have imagined what your life would be like so many years later. And you probably couldn't have anticipated the success you've had or that really specific artistic niche that you kind of fill. What did your journey look like?
You know, it's funny because when I was in high school, I was not a great student. I wasn't very smart, nothing remarkable. And I just kind of liked art. And Xavier was the, I applied to three different universities and Xavier was the only one that accepted me. And I wondered what my major should be. And I thought, well, I like art, so I'll just be an art major and see how it goes. And, you know, it was in the studios of on campus, in the art studios, that I realized that painting chose me because I would look around and see the other students and they had so much more talent than me and I would get so frustrated and I'd go home and I would cry and I'd say I need to switch my majors to something that's more reliable or practical, and the next morning I'd get up and I'd have to paint again. So that's why I think it chose me. Just this, it's funny upon reflection how these little things that don't seem very important just guided my path.
Yeah, so, I mean, when did you become aware of that?
I became aware in reflection. So my path would be that I would just each day do the next right thing. I developed this this belief that if I do what makes my heart sing, try to be of service with it, then the universe will support me. And I wasn't very religious at the time. In fact, I don't even remember. I think I didn't go to church on Sundays as often as I used to. And you know, frankly, I was in a 12-step program, and so I felt as though I got all the spirituality I needed in a 12-step program. Which coincidentally has a, not coincidentally so much, but it has a lot of similarities to Ignatian spirituality.
Yeah. It's interesting, we just had Father Bill Murphy here talking to us, and he was talking about that very thing, about, because I think we asked him whether or not you had to be a faith-filled person to appreciate the gifts and use the gifts, and he goes, not necessarily. But he said, I think you need to have like what the 12-step program says, is that a belief in a higher power or
yeah,
the universe or whatever.
And a powerlessness, an awareness of my own powerlessness, which would be the first step of the 12 steps. But But then Ignatius would call it a poverty of spirit.
Right.
And it's that humility of knowing that I cannot solve this problem or whatever task I'm doing, but for relinquishment to God. And then that just gives me unexpected gifts that I get to live in the mystery then. So on my journey, you mentioned Michael Scott, I started to paint traditional landscapes. And Michael introduced me to Phyllis Weston, who was the grande dame of the art world in Cincinnati at the time. And she was the director of Clausen's, and that was the oldest art gallery on this side of the Mississippi in the United States. And so there was just a lot of ambition at the time. I remember thinking that if I met the right people, if I did the right subject matter, then I would become this great painter, which would fill some sort of hole, it would give me some sort of self-esteem. And this hole could not be filled but for God's love. And so it just so happened that Michael suggested that I do a show 2 years in advance, and that would make me a better painter. If I give all my efforts into a subject matter 2 years in advance, then I would become a better painter.
So,
I didn't know
so
why.
So committing to this show and however many works, 2 years out, so you'd go in day after day
and work on
that.
Yeah. So I had connections with Xavier's art gallery, and I committed to a show 2 years in advance. And I thought, what would be a good subject matter that I could paint in context of the space? Well, my husband was with me, and he was Googling, and he said, well, it's a Jesuit university, so why not Ignatius Loyola? And I said, who? No, I'm a graduate, and I apologize for that theology class professor that I missed that. But when I started researching Ignatius Loyola, I was astounded at how much I could relate to this 16th century Spanish soldier, 15th century, at the turn of the 16th century, who he just, his story became alive, and I felt that burning, that inspiration, and I wanted to dedicate my talents to that. So I went on a pilgrimage. Deborah Mooney, mm-hmm. from Mission and Identity made it happen, so I could join the other faculty members. At this point, I had graduated from Xavier, and then I came back and I did the spiritual exercises in the 19th connotation with Daryl Burns, mm-hmm. Brother Burns, and it's so interesting because it just has completely flipped, where I'm a daily communicant. I love to go to adoration, and Pedro Rupe talks about this, about when you choose love, it'll decide everything. And so my subject matter, my paintings have become sacred.
Yeah, I can attest to that.
Well, Holly, that's a wonderful journey that you shared with us all. And you mentioned some things that we talked about earlier about in terms of the gifts.
Yes.
And how you feel drawn to reflection, you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, and discernment. So how have these gifts helped to guide your art in your life?
Well, it's interesting, the gift of reflection. So as a painter, I can describe my training included outdoor paintings, and that was mentioned in the introduction. So when you have your easel, which was actually invented by the Impressionists, they called it plein air, out in the air, where you're out and you're painting, you're trying to capture the sunlight. And you have a French easel, you're on location. And as I'm standing at my easel, I'm looking at the world in front of me and trying to come up with a composition. So I, as a painter, gain eyes to see because I am looking at the shadows, I've noticed that other people don't see these things. Other people don't see, like, if you want to paint a tree realistically on a sunny day, it is not without a shadow. So you start to see what is there, and then I can take that in an interior level where you take a long, loving look at what truly is. And reflection, for me, the examine is a great example every night of just recognizing the gifts of the day. And you know, I have to say, of recent, on my way into the Gallagher Learning Center, the Connaughton Learning Center, I passed the Mother Teresa sculpture, whom I love. I love one, a quote that she says is, "Do little things with great love." And I noticed that that is a great formula for painting as well. So when I'm painting, if I make my brush marks with great love, then that can help me practice it in my reflection as well. So at night, when I'm reflecting on the good things that have happened, I can also recognize the people whom I've encountered, and to try to experience God, Jesus's love for them through me. It's also Saint Therese of Lisieux has been teaching me this, that I understand that being a great lover is the goal here. It is, God created us in His image, and His image is to love others. And so upon reflection, if I think of these people whom I've seen that day and have just a touch of that love and just practice loving them, then it helps me to do it in person or to say a little prayer for their well-being, for their good health. That reflection is good to do. It also helps me practice it throughout the day.
Great. Anything you want to add about discernment?
Well, discernment, I have a pretty good story on that. I like to talk about the Black Madonna in the story of Ignatius Loyola. So he was this pilgrim, and he had his conversion experience. He was a soldier, and he had a conversion experience and wanted to become a pilgrim. So he walked one step at a time, which is a 12-step slogan of doing the next right thing. One step at a time towards the Black Madonna. And he laid his sword before her. And when I heard this story, I recognized that when I was in my studio, I had this task of trying to complete these paintings based on Ignatius Loyola for this show that I had committed to. And I was comparing myself to other artists. And I would sit, it was stifling my creativity. I had just come back from the pilgrimage. I was thinking about Michelangelo and Raphael, and including my instructor, Michael Scott, who was this great painter. And I kept thinking, they would do a much better job than me. Who do I think I am that I could paint anything that could contribute to this visual conversation based on Ignatius Loyola? And so I went into my spiritual direction, and I asked my director, and I told him about this, and I said that it was really stifling me. And he said, "Well, where are you placing your focus?" And I said, "On me and my talents." And he said, "Exactly. Why not become a co-creator with God? Kick all of that out and see what happens." And so I recognized my negative thinking as my sword that was cutting me down. And so I laid that before the Black Madonna, and I offered my limitations and my talents to her, and all of that thinking, which, when that happens, I've learned that it goes through this alchemical process where the worst things that I struggle with become assets when I relinquish them to the Black Madonna, who then is never an end in herself. She always gives it to the King for that transformative, just that alchemical process where this struggle becomes gold, really, and it becomes treasures. And I can share with others my struggles, and they can relate with that. So all of that negative talk reduced to about from 90% to the last 10%. And in that last 10%, it may come, but I didn't believe it anymore. So the problem that I think that we have is that we have these negative beliefs, and I would call it negative stories from the enemy, which Ignatius would call the enemy commander, that these stories start to set in, like there'll be a rejection or there'll be a struggle, and then the stories start to slither in with, you do not have what it takes, or you are way ahead of your abilities, and this is going to be a failure, and you're wasting your time. All of that, the Black Madonna just squashed it for me. Her foot on the head of the serpent, that I just didn't have to believe that anymore. And then I started to be much more interested in the creative process. All that worrying about the results was not interesting to me. What was interesting was the moment, the present moment, and what was happening before me. And then for me, it's the Holy Spirit would get me through and create the works where I become the witness. And in fact, my initials, it's my good fortune that my initials are HS, because that's how I sign my paintings, so I can give the real credit to the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Holly.
You know, in reflecting myself on that, it's apparent to me that we all have a sword that we need to lay down in order for us to clear the table and allow us to do what we do. I think that's such a poignant point you make. And when I actually had the privilege of going to Montserrat and praying in front of the Black Madonna. In fact, you brought back a Black Madonna statue for me when you went. And it's that metaphor of laying down your sword and giving up your weaknesses that prevent you, that block you from doing what you're supposed to be doing for God. And I think that's such a poignant way to put it. Really meaningful to me. So thank you for sharing that.
And you know, Mary is no stranger to the sword. I mean, Simeon's prophecy to her can speak true for all of us. And the fact it's wonderful to contemplate on whom it is that we're laying the sword before. This great model, our mother, our intercessor, our queen, who has been given the task of becoming our own spiritual mother and to help us become Christ bearers to others. It's the Virgo potens, the Virgin most powerful, the Queen of the heavens. It's all just astounding to the fact that she cares for each of us individually and wants a relationship with us and to take us to our Lord.
I love the series of paintings you've done on Mary, the Mother of God. I love the diversity of faces you portray. How did reflection and discernment guide you with that project, and then also with including the diversity of faces of Mary?
Certainly. You know, when it was just a very logical step for me to move from the Ignatian work into pieces honoring Mary, because St. Ignatius was a mystic and he was very close to Mary, and he even said that Mary is the bridge to Christ. So it just made all the sense in the world for me to start to see her as my muse and to study her. Now, when I learned about Mary appearing to him, he later said that she appeared to me as a schoolboy. And that excited me. And I thought, if I offer all my talents to Mary, maybe she will appear to me and teach me as a schoolgirl. And maybe I'll have an apparition appear. That hasn't happened yet. What did happen, though, is women, it's interesting, once you say yes to this, there's a quickening of people come, and women have come to me and have given me the exact word that I needed that day, or the help that I needed. It's as if when Mary heard that Elizabeth needed her help, she was pregnant, she went in haste to Elizabeth, and she will come in haste to us as soon as we ask for her help as well. And so I noticed that her omnipresence was in every woman, and I wanted to break through this sort of Renaissance image of Mary being a certain archetype. And so we have this diversity of images of different ethnicities and cultures that we can honor her in every woman and in every face, and her messages that she gives to us, and the messengers through, you know, simply I learned that an angel, the definition of an angel is God's messengers. So it's so that in that definition, it's so accessible to see ourselves being visited by angels on a daily basis.
That's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I'm wondering, have you had any feedback about the diversity of Mary's faces? Because I have heard some things from people who have seen those, and they're like uncomfortable with the fact that you've used, you know, brown faces. Mm-hmm. And different mm-hmm. different ethnicities, mm-hmm. and they're uncomfortable. What would you say to that?
Well, she definitely, and they have a good point, because mm-hmm. there is a history that she was born a young Jewish girl, and yet she appears to people indigenous to their culture. For instance, Mother Guadalupe appeared to Juan Diego in his in that culture that he is, and so she made such an impact in that way. So this claim that we get to claim her as a spiritual mother, which is a wonderful gift that Jesus has given us at the end of his life, for me gave license to explore that. And my work is really to stimulate conversation and meditation and contemplation. I'm not here to state how things went and how people should think. I love it that people have their own impression of the works, and one may speak to them in a different way than others.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
A portrait of the Pope's mother for him. Mm-hmm. Would you tell us about your process with that painting and how it was received by the mm-hmm. Holy Father?
Sure. So years back, I don't know how many, but there was an exhibit, A Blessing to One Another, with the Pope John Paul II and his Jewish friend, the rabbi, and I'm forgetting the exact title, but it was a wonderful exhibition that traveled the world, and it was created by Rabbi A.B. Ingber and Dr. James Buchanan and Dr. Bill Madges, who is still on mm-hmm. campus and who is the chair of theology and the Brueggemann Center. And so they gave Pope John Paul a photograph of his mother at the beginning of this exhibition. And then at the end of the exhibition, 2 years later, after it's traveled the world, they wanted to give Pope Francis a portrait of his own mother to circle back. And I just so happened to be able to paint that and have the privilege. And they gave it to him, and it was fun for me to see the photographs of this. And it was strange because, you know, when you dedicate your work to God, the world just seems to get smaller and more accessible. So it was a heart-to-heart connection with Pope Francis, and I just am honored that it happened and thrilled. And it's just, it's humbling. And it just shows what it is like to live in the mystery of the spiritual life of contemplation and service to others.
Well, and yes, I think about it, we've kind of come full circle. I think about that young girl in the 90s here at Xavier University, and I think about the consolation that you found through laying your sword down and giving yourself over to that. That's that's a really great story for people and a real good metaphor for all of us, I think. It's very inspiring. You know, at the end, we like to kind of look at all the gifts. And, you know, as we leave, I wondered if you had any words of wisdom for that young woman at Xavier now, as far as the gifts are concerned, whether you can offer her any advice on how she might lay her sword down.
Yes. I think, for me, I think saying yes to God hastens your help. That's what I love about our Catholic faith, that we are not charged with tasks that we cannot do, and I think it's a kingdom dream. There's a difference between a personal dream and a kingdom dream. A personal dream is, I feel like I can do a good job, and yes, I'm gonna go for it. A kingdom dream is, I don't know how this is gonna happen, but I'm gonna go for it and watch God work in my life. And so saying yes to God's will is, and trying to be the handmaiden of following God's will, one day at a time, doing it in small steps.
One step
at a time. Then being present and paying attention. I love the great poet, American poet Mary Oliver. Mm-hmm. She said, people asked her, how do you become enlightened? And she said, pay attention, be astonished, and tell others. And I do want to say that when I chose sacred art, the great surprise that I have found is that it has drawn in the most wonderful people. So when I say, and I get to learn from them, and then my talents grow, so that saying that yes to offering my talents to a higher purpose, to the theodrama rather than my ego drama, the great cosmological plan, is a much more exciting way to live than that person who was trying to be ambitious and have these, I had a life filled with anxiety and fears and self-centered concerns. So I guess that's what I would like to say.
Yeah, I think that's really relevant. And the fact that this will be listened to by, you know, all my students anyways, I think that's very helpful. Thank you. And in closing, I'm thinking back on some of the things you said. And you mentioned Mother Teresa. Another thing that I think you kind of live, that she also spoke about, is that we all belong to each other. And one of the reasons why there's all these ills in the world is that we've forgotten that we all belong to each other. And when I see your art, I feel that. And I think others do as well. So I thank you for that. I'd like you to invite you to enjoy Holly's art and wisdom. You can see all of Holly's paintings and announcements of her events that she's involved in at hollyshapker.com. We'll somehow put her website up.
So we have thoroughly enjoyed listening to Holly today and talking about the Gifts podcast. You can find more information about any of our programs at the Center for Mission and Identity, and any information that you'd like about Ignatian spirituality at JesuitResources.org. Thank you, Holly.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.